Our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, we have some updates on the web payments use case vote, making sure that you're registered for the W3C technical plenary, going over some advanced use cases from Tim, and then we should also discuss how we're going to kind of wrap up the use case work. Any other updates or changes to the agenda, anything else that we should discuss today? All right, first up, web payments use cases vote. The web payments community group has finalized a draft of the use cases that we're going to present to W3C, the W3C interest group at W3C, at the W3C technical plenary. Wow, that was a long sentence. Basically, the web payments use cases are more or less revised. These use cases came from the web payments workshop in Paris earlier this year. There were a lot of identity-related use cases that we've moved into this group, but it is important to note that I'm going to put in a link here. This is the web payments use cases. Credentials are a very big part of all of the use cases. So what's been more or less set in stone in the web payments community group is that this group is now responsible for figuring out a credentialing solution that works for web payments. There is a vote going on currently in the web payments group. There's a URL to that vote. The vote is to basically accept or reject the use cases document. If the use cases are accepted, that basically means that the assumption there is that there needs to be a credentialing solution. This group should come up with that credentialing solution, and that's going to be the official position of the web payments community group. The vote, I think, closes not at the end of this week, but at the end of the next Friday. So the Friday after this coming Friday. Once that's done, that document is going to be fed into the Web Payments IG, the interest group. That's hopefully going to be created mid-October. And then that group is going to further refine and discuss the use cases. So this is just a heads up. If any of the folks in this group are also members in the Web Payments community group, make sure to vote for that for the set of use cases. You can provide feedback on every single one of the use cases. I think we have, like, how many? We have 6 design criteria and 18 use cases. Again, the use cases are very important because they guide the technical work. If there isn't a use case, if we start working on things that are not in the use cases while we're doing the technical work, usually the group complains loudly that we're getting off track. So basically, you can look at the use cases and kind of figure out what the set of technical requirements are going to be for the first version of the web payments work. Any questions on web payments, the web payments use cases, or the vote that's happening right now?
I've got a question about the privacy stuff. I think that we spoke about OIBL group defining the privacy work.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if it's going to be fit for purpose. So I've planned to follow up on that with you at some stage and come up with some solutions.
Okay.
Then, anyway.
Okay, yeah. And I think we actually have in the – let me see if we have the data rights stuff in there. Push-based, I thought we did, pseudo-anonymity. Subscription, we don't, let's see, smart contracts, that's data portability. I don't know if we have the data rights stuff in there. How did that not get in there? Squarespace payment subscriptions.
The charter, the group's charter.
Which group?
Is that correct?
Which
the credentials group.
It is certainly in the credentials group's charter. So I guess my concern is that we were talking about data rights in the credentials group, and we're not talking about it in the web payments group, and we should be talking about it in both groups. So I think it's definitely going to be in the credentials use cases, but it's not mentioned in the web payments use cases, and it really needs to be mentioned there because your purchase and transaction history can be used to track you online. Okay, it's a good thing you brought that up because we don't have the data rights stuff in there. And ODRL, we definitely need to touch base with that community. That's more something that this community needs to do. Both communities need to talk with the open data rights language folks. Any other questions or concerns with the current vote going on in the web payments use cases? The other thing to pay attention to is that this is effectively the same process. The process that the web payments group is going through right now to determine their use cases and vote on it is basically going to be the exact same process that this group, the credentials group, goes through to vote on our use cases. So pay attention to the format of the document, the use cases document, and also pay attention to how the vote's proceeding. Because I guess my hope is that we can go through the same thing at least in the next week or two in this group. Any questions on web payments use case vote procedure or anything related to that? Okay, if not, let's go to the next item, which is W3C technical plenary registration. The important thing to note here is that the web payments meeting is finally on the schedule. They were worried that they shouldn't put something on the schedule that had not been passed by the membership yet, but the vote's going fairly well, and they're fairly sure that the group is going to be cleared to be created. So this is the web payments activity and what's under the web payments activity, which is the web payments interest group at first, and then potentially multiple technical working groups underneath there. So pay attention. If you don't have time to read up on everything that's going on, here's a link that might be helpful here that outlines the three important things that are happening right now, which is the vote to create the web payments activity at the W3C, the registration for TPAC, and make sure if you're interested in going to TPAC on behalf of the credentials group, be absolutely sure that you register for the web payments group because the identity stuff is going to be discussed pretty heavily in there. And then the other open question that we have for the group is, should we have a separate breakout session to talk about credentials at W3C TPAC? Because we have to put in a proposal for that discussion. That discussion would happen on Wednesday. So Monday and Tuesday is when the web payments group is going to meet, and then on Wednesday is when there is a question on whether or not we should have a discussion around identity and credentials on the web and standardization around that. Any questions on TPAC? If you've already registered for TPAC, go back and re-register. Click the button that says that you're going to be at the web payments group because we're going to talk about credentials there as well.
No, I'm still working on the funding to go over there. But if you would be able to help me start it, that would be appreciated.
Okay. I'll look into it. The funding to send folks there
Separate things.
Right.
Separate things. So I'll try to sort that out locally.
Okay.
But yeah, I need both and sort of a, you know, it's a bit chicken and egg, unfortunately.
Yep. Is the question that you're asking the representation, like being able to, because I know that W3C is kind of playing hardball with the, you know, you absolutely have to be a member to join the web payments group, but none of the other groups have that hard requirement. So, for example, the social web group is allowing anybody from the general public to attend as long as they're cleared by the chairs.
Right.
But for whatever reason, the W3C has decided to. I think they're trying to be very conservative, whereas the social web folks, they're trying to make sure that the banks feel comfortable at the meeting, rather than, you know, the social web folks are just basically like anyone that has a technical ability that, you know, that has built world standards before is welcome. So yeah, let's work on that offline a bit, Tim.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Manu, this is Pat. I just had a question about the Wednesday session. Are you thinking that would be a morning only or half day? I've got some travel commitments that I had already booked a return flight on Wednesday, not knowing that we were going to be meeting.
Yeah, well, what we could do is we could have a breakout session on Monday or Tuesday. I have to see. So the way that they've organized this year's technical plenary is that you have a big two-hour chunk in the morning for the working group and a big like two- or three-hour chunk in the afternoon, but the middle of the day is fairly open for ad hoc meetings. So we can decide to have an ad hoc meeting in the middle of the day around identity and credentials. If it turns out that, you know, people have already booked travel and Wednesday is difficult, then maybe we should do, you know, Monday and Tuesday. The other thing that's going on is the Internet Identity Workshop is happening on Wednesday, and I think a number of the credentials folks might head on over to that. So it might turn out that Wednesday is just a bad day. So noted that you have travel commitments on Wednesday with the Internet Identity Workshop going on. Maybe what we should do is just announce an ad hoc meeting on Monday or Tuesday. Would that work for you, Pat?
Yeah, that'd be perfect. And then if there's, I don't think my flight is until the afternoon, but you know, if there's benefit in us attending also some of the Internet Identity Work Group stuff as well, I'd certainly be happy to stop by with whatever time I have. But
okay, good to know. Okay, let's see, getting access to. Okay, anything else on W3C TPAC before we move into use cases? Okay, if not, we went through all of the use cases that Tim brought up in his first email last week, I think. Dave Longley, Mary, is that correct?
Yeah, we covered the first email entirely, I believe.
Okay. All right, so here's the second email. Unfortunately, I did not have time to go through and try and organize this. Tim, I'm going to take over scribing for you. Could you maybe do a real high level on the, what you're trying to accomplish with the more sophisticated use cases, and then we can kind of dive into that?
Thank you. So the peer-to-peer advertising, the concept was that the peer-to-peer advertising, selling a bike, the concept was to write a document that contained an offer statement and a payment URL. So conceptually, HTML.that. And it was discoverable via some sort of linked data graph search rather than being in a traditional aggregated type system. I'll give you a call. So this WebISN system searches five files I've just posted it into the IRC. So in that search system, if you just type in Tim or whatever, it will pull all the about different people who have what's called a photo, which is a way of describing it. So clearly, these two top use cases are about writing some sort of document, HTML type document, where you could specify an offer and then potentially create a claim on that offer without needing to integrate it into a traditional content. Does that make sense?
Into a traditional what?
A content management system, so a relational database.
Uh-huh.
So like an eBay or like a, you know, a traditional merchant type website.
So at first glance, I don't understand how this is. It seems like this is more web payments use case than a credentials use case.
From the until you get to one event. So how do you make sure that someone hasn't obfuscated the or changed the payment URL or the URI? That doesn't close. Therefore, if they change the payment URI, then the contract will be void. To some extent, it's credential element fits in identity, basically.
So I think what you're getting at is the non-repudiation of offers, which I think is still a web payments use case. And also, Jörg is saying, you know, can commercial offers really be represented by credentials? I think the general, at least our general position on this has been no. It's not a credential, it's an offer, right? And the offers are digitally signed, and this is almost wholly in the web payments case. The only in the web payments area, the only thing that's not is the credential that you use to identify who you are that's it. It's a credential that that is attached to the offer. Or sorry, the identity that is attached to the offer.
Would you a document? So would you generate a credential that declares it to be an official offer?
I don't think you would. You'd generate an offer. You'd generate an offer of sale. You'd digitally sign that. In this digital signature would be your identity URL. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's not a credential. It's a digitally signed offer.
The identity that you use there is
a part of the work that we're doing. But the only thing that you need to do is you need to tie that offer to some kind of identifier, which is which is discoverable via linked data.
So does that
Hi. I have the feeling if we go in very deep into the shopping experience itself, we'll probably meet too many things that we are not able to cope with so much. So I guess we will end up with having something like shopping session and probably something that describes a transaction. And if I, as a customer, for example, received something that allows me a better price or gives me a discount on something, or that just says, well, you already paid for something, these definitely need to be expressed in a form of credentials, while others might just belong to the shopping experience. I guess we will need some instruments to do that, but probably they don't belong into the credentials group. It's just my thought when I look at these things.
Yep. Any other thoughts? So my personal view on this is that this use case touches credentials, but only very lightly, to the point that I think we should try and shift this over to the web payments group, this use case over to the web payments group. I think it makes a lot more sense over there than thinking of an offer as a credential. I think that the one mistake that we shouldn't make is the is this concept where anything that is digitally signed and put up as linked data on the web is a credential, because that's not what I don't think that's how we've defined a credential in this group. What we say a credential in this group is some piece of, you know, identifying information about an entity like an organization or a person. So, driver's license, national ID card, things like that.
Is the document itself some sort of? If the when we're signing the document, does that protect it from being altered in any way?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
It's untamperable after that point. You cannot tamper with it.
Okay.
The digital signature fails if you tamper with any of the information.
Yeah, I was going to say a better way to put it is if any of the information changes, the digital signature can no longer be verified. Something else I was going to touch on that we discussed in last week's call, Tim, was we were trying to narrow down what a core credential is. And something we sort of discussed was the idea that it's just a set of statements about an identity that one can demonstrate were endorsed by some entity, and that that demonstration happens is implemented by cryptographic digital signatures. But the most important part, I think, of that is saying we're talking about a set of statements about an identity, and we're not opening the scope up to be wider than that. Because once we do that, we're just saying a digital. You know, whenever we're talking about digital signature, then we're talking about a credential, and that's not where we want to go.
So the credential is a legal identity, opposed to a document. This document. This is a credential document, saying.
Tim, you're breaking up a bit. Can you say that again?
The credential in the credentials group, we're dealing with the identity of a legal entity versus a digital signature in the web payment sphere, which creates a credential for a document.
Let's not define it like that. Let's not define it like that because I think that definition is confusing. The only thing the digital signature does, and the digital signature works across the credentials and the web payment stuff, the only thing the digital signature does is it ensures that the information that was signed cannot be tampered with, right? And it came from a known entity on the web. The definition that we use for credential is very specific, and we've narrowly scoped it to be specific so that we don't get into these situations where we're saying, oh, well, a digital offer of sale is a credential. It's not if we conflate those things, we're going to end up in like endless discussions about, you know, everything becomes a credential at that point. So we need to more narrowly define what a credential is. And I think the definition that we have for credential right now in the charter, in the credential CG charter, is certainly the one that we want to use because it's very narrowly scoped, right?
I also just wanted to mention I put a link in IRC for Tim to take a look at to the web commerce spec that we're working on in the web payments group that talks about publishing an offer. And so you can look there at some JSON-LD that describes what an offer would look like and that it has a signature on that offer. And where we're interested with the credentials work would be any place in this offer where there's an ID for, you know, like the person that's providing the offer or the owner of an asset that's listed in an offer. That's where the credential work might come in, where you want to go discover things about that about the identity that's inside of the offer.
Does that make sense, Tim?
Right, I think so. Yeah, I think where my confusion was about the generation of that signature. And, that's where my confusion was, I guess.
Okay. So, I mean, it's a good, like, you know, the whole peer-to-peer advertising thing is a good use case because we want to be able to list offers in a decentralized way, have search engines pick up on those offers and aggregate the information for, you know, organizations that want to search certain types of offers. and then ensure that those offers are, you know, digitally signed so they're tamper-proof. And they're tied to identities that, you know, this group is going to work on creating. Effectively, a URL that has a bunch of credentials attached to it, like government-issued business licenses or social security cards or driver's licenses, things of that nature. So these types of conversations are good to have because it helps us figure out if our terminology and the way we're breaking up the problem makes sense to folks.
So such as bank accounts, what else was there? Driver's license and other identity information.
Sorry, Tim, I didn't catch that. Other
information. I'm going to repeat the examples.
Driver's licenses. These are credentials that we're talking about, right? So driver's licenses, government-issued ID cards, education credentials. I went to a certain university. It's the list that we had on the call last week. We listed a whole bunch of things that are in scope as credentials. So that's what we're talking about. Let me try and find that.
I do apologize for missing that, by the way.
No, that's
fine. I've been fairly busy.
That's right. I forgot that here's the. Let me get the link for everyone so that they understand what we're talking about. So if you go to this link, these are all the things that we're saying fits into a credential. These are, you know, all the types of statements that you should be able to make using a credential. So I'm a citizen of Virginia.
Oh, right. Yeah,
place.
Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
A student, so, yeah, those are all credentials.
Yeah.
Does anyone, so as far as the peer-to-peer advertising thing, does anyone object to shifting that over to the Web Payments Group? I don't think that there's anything that we can lift out of that into this group. I think we've already got it covered in the Web Payments Group.
Was it documented clearly enough? Does that make sense?
Sorry, say that again.
Was it documented clearly enough?
Sorry, Tim. They're having a hard time hearing you. There's echo, and you're cutting out. Was it documented clearly?
I'm just asking.
I don't know. So we need to go back. I think it's documented clearly, meaning the peer-to-peer advertising use case is not documented clearly. We do not have that. So you should raise an issue saying, you know, is this a use case that we want to have? But as far as the requirement that we need some kind of identity and some kind of credentialing mechanism, that is very clearly documented in the web payments use cases. And I think
okay,
that
cool.
those two things will cover your peer-to-peer advertising use case. Is a proof of purchase a credential? I think we've defined it as not being a credential. The proof of purchase is a digital receipt. It is a document that is digitally signed that proves that you have purchased something. Here's where the split happens. You could argue that it is a credential. We are specifically arguing that it is not a credential. It is a digital receipt, right? So we have terminology for the proof of purchase. We're calling it a digital receipt. A digital receipt is not a credential based on the definition that we have in the group.
Warranty document?
What I understand that is it's not as a proof of purchase credential, but it could be one if it is used for further activities, for example, getting a discount, getting access to something, then it would be turned into a credential, but probably not one that we need to talk in the context of payment here, but that's an identity or access management thing then.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of digital goods and so on, because that will be something which will become more and more important.
Yep.
Okay, but we can leave that out here for the purchase itself.
And this is Eric. Wouldn't that be more like a license? If somebody purchased something, they get a license, and a license would actually become a credential, a license to something.
A license that's assigned to a particular person could be viewed as a credential. I mean, we're really now we're getting at the we're kind of hitting at the soft underbelly of the definition that we have, right? And it's not you can argue these things, you know, one way or another. It really has to do with how the piece of information is used. And maybe we need to have that reflected in our definition of what a credential is. But for right now, basically, if you've got a bunch of statements about an entity, then we're saying that is a credential. If you have a bunch of statements about something like a digital receipt or a product or a car or an asset, we're saying that that's not a credential per the definition in this group. And we're just going to have to kind of keep hitting at the underbelly of this definition and see if it holds up. But certainly the points that, you know, Jorg and Eric are bringing up are very important. You know, in some cases you could view it as a digital receipt, in other cases you could view it as a credential.
I think what's important is we try and think of these definitions in terms of how these systems will technically function together and how we can keep the scope limited. It's certainly true that you could say whenever we're talking about ownership, whenever you're making statements about ownership, you could say that those could fall under the credential space. There's nothing wrong with any of those arguments that are being made here. They could all be philosophically argued to be correct. But I think we need to make sure that we keep our scope limited to identity with the credential work, and we keep the payment and ownership stuff limited to the web payments work. Otherwise, again, they'll just bleed into each other, and we won't be able to work on the technology.
I concur. I wanted to just make the point that I was not saying that I thought that a receipt should be a credential. I wanted to make the point that actually you would issue a brand new credential that would be a license. That would be separate. I agree that the definition is clear that that would not be one. So I was using another example.
Uh-huh. Is it fair to say that the difference between the credential and the receipt would be that a credential must be used to authenticate? It's you know, anything that has a credential is expected at some point to use that credential for authentication purposes, whether that's for payment or whether that's for obtaining some kind of a good or service. Authentication seems like a prerequisite for calling something a credential. Otherwise, it's just information about the state. No.
That's true. I don't know if we want to make that a hard, and I'm not saying that you're saying this, but I'm saying we probably don't want to make it a hard and fast rule. It's one more question that we can ask to determine whether something should be considered a credential or something else. So authentication is part of that.
Right. I was just going to say, and it might be that in one context something is considered a credential, and in another it is not. In terms of receiving the receipt during the payment process, you're not using it to authenticate, but you might turn around and then you give it to a merchant that you bought the product from to authenticate yourself, whether it's a receipt or a license that's embedded in that receipt or anything of that nature.
Yeah, receipt feels more like those are more what's the word for it? More static. Like receipt seems more like it's for verification that something happened. Whereas authentication is you're proving elements of your identity for purposes of action, and again, it's not a hard and fast rule. Maybe more of a heuristic that just maybe helps to kind of think about what types of entities may require a credential versus a receipt. A bicycle, for example, probably in most cases feels like it's a receipt because it's the thing that's being purchased or being procured, where information about an organization or a government or an individual or even a machine system or something like that's actually doing the action, those feel more like the things that actually are going to require the credentials for authentication purposes. Again, it's a heuristic maybe.
Yep, absolutely agree. So yeah, I think we're going to have a set of heuristics, and maybe we need to start documenting this. What are the heuristics that we're using to determine whether something's a credential or not? And that determines whether or not we need to think about it in this group, or if it gets punted to an external group. The key being, we are trying to narrowly scope the work here so that we don't end up with a giant, you know, a giant set of work that we have to address. Like Jörg said earlier on in the IRC channel, we do not need to take care of every kind of credential. We just want to, you know, pick a narrow set that we believe can be accomplished in a generalized way in the beginning, solve those problems, and then over time we're going to see other credentials pop up where we decide whether we need to address it in this group or if it's something for the web payments group. Anything else on the peer-to-peer advertising use case before we move on? I mean, this is a really good discussion about, you know, definitions. We just want to make sure that we don't spend all of our time talking about the definition. Is anyone still kind of confused about what we're talking about when we're talking about a credential? Understanding that we're probably going to add more heuristics as we go. Okay. If not, Tim, is it okay with you if we bounce the peer-to-peer advertising use case over to the web payments group?
Yeah, perfectly reasonable.
Okay. Next up is invention. So Tim said in this email. Again, this is
the next
looking at.
Is selling a bicycle, which is the same. Yeah.
Hold on. The next one is the invention one, disclosing an invention. You're publishing
the next
specification.
One.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you're right. Okay. Sorry.
The bike, so it's a physical product, document, a digital product. Contribute, so I'll do this as well. Is there any other or any other suggestions?
I think this is an offer as well. If you're creating a document to advertise the sale or availability of something, you're creating an offer in the web payments sense. Yeah, you're breaking up quite a bit, Tim. But I think this is a web payments use case as well. Okay, agreement there. Any disagreement that this is a web payments use case?
Nope.
Okay. Next topic, next use case is contribution.
So tell me if I'm dropping out too much and I'll type
it. No, you're good.
So in the contribute thing, it's a bit being able to... In a situation that you credential in thing that you can one of these systems to be asserted into your contributes. Yeah?
Yeah, you're dropping out. We're only hearing like every other word, Tim. Let me try and fill in what I think you're talking about in this use case, if I'm not dropping out, and then let me know if I missed anything. So the general idea here is that when you're creating a product or you're working on a project, you want to associate your identity with your contributions. So you want there to be a clear record that you contributed X on certain dates. So that if the project moves to the point where it's making money, you can then be remunerated for it. So this is definitely, I think, it's an identity URL use case. You need to be able to associate your contributions with some kind of identifier. We've picked a URL, a specific type of URL. We don't know exactly what type of URL, but the idea here is that it's you can look it up on the World Wide Web in some way. And I think that I think we've got this covered in the set of use cases that we have right now. I mean, the core requirement for the work that we're doing is you have some kind of identity URL, and you can use that identity URL and associate it with other things. Tim, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Plus one. So I think we've already got this use case covered. Any disagreement, Tim? Okay. So no disagreement. Anyone else disagree? Okay, next up is the invention use case. You've basically invented something and you want to publish it on the web and you want to tie it to an identity that's discoverable. And so once you go to that identity, you can also find out more things about that identity. I think this is the same, unless I'm missing something, this is the same use case as the one above. You need an identity URL. Oh, no. This one has a date stamp on it. So the idea here is you have an identity URL. You can publish a specification. You can date stamp it. And there's a digital signature on it that verifies that it's you. It's your document. Is that right, Tim? That's the general what you're trying to do. It's basically you file for a patent on the web by filing it on the web instead of with the to any kind of patent organization like the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And so this is kind of the same use case as the offers use case. An offer is you're saying that you've got something for sale at a certain price. And you timestamp it with the dates that it's valid. This is just you've published a document, you've got a date stamp on it. The place where this might where the credential stuff might come in is you might want a countersignature from another organization that verifies that a particular date is valid. Because just because you digitally sign something to say that you invented, space ice cream in the 1930s, that doesn't mean that's true. You have to have another organization like the USPTO jump in and digitally countersign that document.
Hopefully you can hear me.
Yep.
There's just several different parts. I mean, from my understanding of the patent process, the first element is that you have made a specific claim of some sort of point of innovation that you have identified by a certain date, a priority date. The second is the examination, where they look through prior art, and that is then... on the basis of when that submission was made, it is then evaluated to identify whether or not that patent should be granted to that organisation by the national authority, so the US, for example. So the main thing that, I mean, it would cover both, theoretically it could cover both cases, but the main thing I was trying to identify is this concept of being able to publish an idea on the web and to have the thing date stamped as though it was published in as though it was published to the USPTO.
Yep. Yeah. Any thoughts on this being any general thoughts on this being a credentials use case or not?
I'm trying to figure out what part of a standard would be used in this case. It involves digital signatures, and it involves asserting perhaps that a certain identity is the one that wrote the document, but I'm not seeing what would be standardized around this use case. It seems like it would be a useful system for someone to implement, but I'm having difficulty seeing how it would why it should be a credentials use case.
It reminds me, you're speaking here, of some activity in the EU framework about attribute-based credentials. So it's well imaginable, I think, that I might have an institution helping me to make sure that the use of attribute-based credentials is actually really correct and not giving away my identity and not making me trackable. So I think it's something which is bigger than credentials themselves, but I would be—I could imagine that we would address attribute-based credentials, for example, or other privacy-enhancing technologies in the form of credentials to be adhered to and being able to be transported alongside payment transactions. I think that's something that I would even like to see in there. But the overall process around it, reassuring the customer that everything is done correctly, probably does not belong into the credentialing arena so much. If I understood it correctly, I'm not too sure, but that's something that I know from my experience.
Yeah. Perhaps the other interesting angle there is the if you think about the inputs to the payment that the payment group. Or the group working on verification using the credentials, is that this suggests that there might be the need for us to provide input to that group that they should support for each transaction, potentially a composite signature, so multiple identities being used to verify a particular transaction or verify a particular claim in this case. So if I have the USPTO signature plus my own signature plus whoever else had an identity that was involved in asserting that claim, it feels like that maybe there's a requirement there for them to support one-to-many using a standard, more abstract credential layer.
Yep. Yeah, so basically the ability to countersign documents is important. Basically countersign digital documents, whether they're credentials or they're payment transactions or anything else, so that it's a more general problem than just the credential stuff. Also, we should point out that the JSON-LD digital signature stuff that we have now can do this. So you can tack on, you can have a set of endorsements or countersigned credentials, or you can have N signatures on a single source document. So, for example, both of these use cases, I think, are ones that we're going to need to support. The first one is I have a document, and I give it to Pat, and I give it to Jorg, and they both sign the original document and send it back to me. So their signatures effectively don't stack one on top of the other. The other one is more of an endorsement model where I digitally sign a document, then I send it to Pat, and he adds his signature to the end. So he's signing the information and my signature. And then Pat takes his document and sends it to Jorg. And then you've got basically three signatures on the document that are dependent on the previous signature. So my signature is first, Pat's signature is next, and then Jorg's signature is after that. So being more specific, those are the two types of general ways of digitally signing a document that we've seen to date, and we are probably going to have to support both of those mechanisms. But the mechanisms
themselves
are...
Would you have to support a Until it is account document, would it need to be maintained confidential? Would it need to be confidential? Is there a use case where until the transaction has been completely executed, it has to be encrypted in a way before it is published as an official document?
There probably is a use case, but I definitely don't think we should try and tackle that. Meaning that I think we already have the technology that can encrypt it, so that's not a problem, right? So the question is, do we want to talk about encrypted credentials or not? And I don't think the use case that we're currently talking about, which is the invention use case, is one of those use cases. Because the invention use case, you have to make a public. Let me take that back. The way the current patent system works in most industrialized nations, you have to make a public. You have to have a valid date stamp on it, and you have to try and make it as public as possible. There is an argument that you could encrypt the information and put it out to the public, but that defeats the whole purpose of having the patent system, which is you're trying to teach other people how to make your invention, and for that you're getting a monopoly on that invention.
The final specification, if you like, don't you need to maintain confidentiality of the invention so you can't publish aspects of it openly until you use that official document?
Are you talking for patents?
Yeah. Well, it's
no.
Something that you want
no,
to patent.
You cannot keep... No. Well, no. You're not supposed... No. I mean, the patent stuff... It depends, but in general, you have to make a full disclosure of the patent. This is not a... The confidentiality stuff have to... A better argument would be that for do the confidentiality stuff, we should be talking about private contracts between individuals or organizations. But it's definitely not the invention use case. Does that make sense? Like you can't patent something that's you're also keeping a trade secret. You can't do one or the other.
Yeah, by disclosing the patent, you are making it impossible for someone to use what you patented without going through you.
Mm-hmm.
It is the actual disclosure of the patent that is what gives you the power in that case.
Okay, so let's try and wrap up this use case. I'm trying to think of Tim, can you rewrite the use case, because it's got too many moving parts in it, and it's hard to split it out. I think the core of what you're saying in here is you want to publish a document on the web, you want to assign an identity. You want to say that the inventor is a particular identity, and this is where the identity credential stuff comes in, and you want to date stamp it, and you want to digitally sign it, right? So that's one potential use case. I think we've already got that use case covered because that's just an offer. It's just a modification on an offer. It's an offer with a different vocabulary. So I think we've got that use case covered. I think the use case that we don't have covered is the multiple digital signatures use case, so endorsements or countersignatures. We don't have that, and we should definitely have that in the credentials group because we are going to need the countersign credentials. So I think that's what we got out of this discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey Manuel, I was just going to add. I think one of the other maybe derivatives of the countersigning item is I don't. Looking through these, I haven't seen anything in terms of composite credentials yet where you may need combinations of authorizations from multiple parties, but you the person completing the action are acting as an agent. So I've been authorized, let's say, by the patent office, and because of that I've got special permissions to be able to do something. So there's maybe this notion that I could combine or or recombine different elements of credentials from different organizations. Maybe a better use case is, you know, I've got a driver's license, and in order to you know, open a bank account, I have to have not only my driver's license, but then I have to have banking credentials. And then if I go to my employer, I might have to use some combination of my banking credentials and my government credentials in order to gain employment.
Yep.
But those have both been issued by separate authorities. Does that make sense? I mean, that's probably a use case for another call.
Yeah, I'm just writing what you're. I'm describing what you're saying. Yeah, that makes total sense. We do support that in the spec right now, but we probably do not have a use case on that. So
well,
you're right. We should be clear about that.
Yeah. What I was going to say is we probably have a use case that just says you can provide credentials to authenticate, but we should probably elaborate a little bit more to make sure that it's clear that we're covering what you're talking about in that use case.
Yeah, even if I'm acting as, like, you know, let's say my employer authorizes me to, you know, do purchasing agreements with other institutions, you know, how do I pass along those? How do I pass along the organization's authorization information and whatever, you know, smaller piece of my own identity that goes along with that, so that it kind of creates this little bit of a composite. Yeah, maybe it's a couple attributes from my organization, but also a couple of attributes of my own identity, which are maybe maintained in some other form factor.
Yep.
So it just seems like a nice, rich topic. This may be a plenary topic. We can get together and kind of beat this one up.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We're at the top of the hour. I think the invention use case, we just need to pull that. There are two, I guess, we found. One of them is the endorsements, multiple signatures, and the other one is the composition of credentials to get access to a particular system. So we want to make sure that we add those two. We have, really quickly, we have 1, 2, 3 left in this list. I think a goal for next week, Digital Bazaar will try and sit down and organize these, or I guess Digital Bazaar and the Credit Trust will sit down and try and organize these into a more definitive set of use cases. And if we can get clearance on those use cases next week, we can try to put them into a use cases document. And as long as everyone's okay with it, we'll try and get some kind of a vote going to adopt just the first. You know, the first set of use cases so that we have something that the group has agreed to going into W3C TPAC. Did that make sense? So basically we're going to try and clean up the use cases before next week, see if we can get agreement on them, at least the general thrust of the use cases next week. And if we do get agreement on the general, you know, concept around the use cases, then call a vote by mid-next week or late next week. Any concerns about that? Any thoughts about that? Okay, well, let's make that a goal. Thanks, everyone, for the call this week, and we'll chat again next week at the same time. Thanks, all. Bye.
Thanks
a lot, Ronnie.
Bye.